all good as usual. He bring you out. It's all good in Jesus' name. So our valley represents times when things are not going the way we want them to go, and we find ourselves in trouble. Maybe in prison right now. You may be on your sick bed. You may be broke down, out, and busted. But Jesus is right there in the valley with you. What I love about him, he said, I would never leave nor forsake you. Oh, hallelujah. What assurance. What assurance that we can have, knowing that he is very near. He's nigh to us, even in our mouth, the word of faith which we preach. Praise the name of the Lord. And it is interesting that people pray the most when they're in the valley. I mean, I know that's the only way some people will come to the Lord, is that when they're in the valley and they can't do nothing else. And we're thankful God love us so much that he allow us to go through the valley, that we can see ourselves, that we can call out to him and he will answer prayers. He love us so much. Oh, glory to his holy name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And that's when you can feel his presence more prevalent, is when you're going through a valley, that quiet time. Praise God. When you don't know which way to turn or which way to go, all you have to do is be still and know that he is God in the midst of whatever we're going through. Praise his holy name. So problems and needs create a more critical climate that seems to participate prayer. Perhaps it's only natural for us, like children, not to cry out to the Lord until there's a problem. You can see a little child, they want something or whatever. If something is not good for them, they're going to cry for about, I don't give in to them when they cry for it, knowing that it's something they don't need and something not good for them. I just try to teach them how not to cry for everything they may think they want, because everything that they might want is not good for them. But I thank God for a Heavenly Father who knows it was good for us. And no matter how we might mope, cry, or what, sometimes, you know, but he knows what's best for us. And we thank and praise him that he won't give us some things that we may ask him for. Hallelujah. I want to be in that place where I could just trust him no matter what, knowing that he is God and that he is in control of every situation. And he is everywhere. We can pray everywhere. In the Old Testament, prayer was offered at the temple. When Solomon dedicated the temple, he asked God to hear prayer that was directed toward Jerusalem and the temple. Take one more
time, God is good. We thank you for tuning in to the Telling of His Goodness broadcast. We pray you were inspired, blessed, and encouraged from hearing the word of God today. If you would like a copy of my book, Telling of His Goodness, you may phone me at 318-305-6965. You may like me on Facebook, connect with me on Google Plus or Twitter. May God bless you until we meet again at the same time next week.
He's a wonder in my
Ladies and gentlemen, the gospel is on your radio. I'm thirsty. This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria, 88.1. K255BT, Monroe, West Monroe, 98.9. K223BI, Greenwood, Shreveport, 92.5. KQJO, St. Joseph, Natchez, 99.3. He's a wonder. And the gospel continues to grow. Praising the Lord. In Senla and in Miss Lou.
A wonder in my soul.
Feel that, y'all. Ladies and gentlemen, the gospel is on your radio. I'm thirsty. This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria, 88.1. K255BT, Monroe, West Monroe, 98.9. K223BI, Greenwood, Shreveport, 92.5. KQJO, St. Joseph, Natchez, 99.3. He's a wonder. And the gospel continues to grow. Praising the Lord. In Senla and in Miss Lou.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministries Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I do.
Dear God, our Heavenly Father, thank you afresh now for this word. Meet us in the text. Tell of the truth we're teaching. Let every hearer's heart not only hear, but heed what you have to say this day. God, we'll be ever so careful to give you praise, glory, and honor. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. And the people of God said, amen. Amen. God bless you. This is Ministry Recruitment Day here in our ministry. And I just want to challenge you, if you ever felt like or feel like you're struggling with your ministry or you're struggling with deciding what is your ministry, I want you to turn your Bibles to the book of Acts chapter 20, and I want to look at verse 24. Acts chapter 20, and let us consider verse 24. And it says, but none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy words. Hopefully, as we look at this verse and other verses we shall share with you today, that we will remove and relieve some of the pressure that some of us may be having as relates to ministry and put this whole ministry thing in perspective. I think a whole lot of folk give up their ministries. They fold up tent and move away, and they become discontented and disconcerted and disharmonized and disappointed with where they are, because ministry doesn't always go like they think it ought to go. And there are some underlying things that perhaps support those feelings. But when you look at the Word of God and you look at the work of God, you'll understand that they are married together. And it's important to understand that it is very difficult to do the work of God without a proper knowledge, function, and understanding of the Word of God. There are some things that the Word of God will inform and enlighten and even inspire you about the work of God. And so sometimes when you're going through tough times, and if you do ministry right, may I tell you, you'll go through some tough times. There'll be times when you feel like throwing up your hands, not in praise, but in surrender. I've had enough of this. And there'll be times in your life and in your ministry when you may even second guess God about whether or not you're in the right place at the right period doing the right thing. But when you begin to look at the Word and let the Word speak for itself and let the Word reveal and shed light on ministry work and workers, it'll help us to deal with the perspective of doing ministry that pleases God. First of all, the one thing that I've gotten from this verse is that It is God in his mercy who gives us the ministry. It is nothing we drum up and nothing that we can conjure up. It's nothing that we make up. It is God in his mercy that gives us the ministry. Now listen at this and listen at it well. Because some of the things that many people miss is that because of God in his mercy who gives us the ministry, many times the ministry comes out of mercy. And so what I'm literally saying is sometimes the reason some folk are not in ministry is because they've not experienced that mercy from God. You see, what I'm really saying is there are some ministries that God wants to birth out of the mercy he has shown to you. See, you might not see it in this church right now because it's still inside of you. It's waiting to be birthed out of you through the mercy God has shown you. There are some things you might say, we ought to have a ministry that deals with such and so, because you know, when I was going through such and such and such a thing and it was a difficult time, but God brought me through. Yes, he brought you through so you could help bring others through. Not only share your testimony, but your time and the gift that God has given you and the mercy God has shown you to bring about ministry to other hurting people. If you're one of the folk who sit in the church Sunday after Sunday hurting because there is not a ministry that literally ministers to your hurt, then maybe God is calling you to do something about it. Listen, God always uses man to birth ministry. So what you may miss is that the reason why it had not been birthed, especially in the local ministry, is because through his mercy, he has shown you the mercy, but you have not moved on the ministry. So again, look at this. It is God in his mercy who gives us the ministry. It is nothing we drum up, we conjure up, we come up with. Acts 20:24 again says unto us in a different translation, however, I consider my life worth nothing to me if only I may finish the race and complete the ministry the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the gospel of God's grace. You remember Paul made it clear, you know, I am what I am by the grace of God. He said, if you want to talk about sinners, you're looking at the chief sinner. He says, listen, in Philippians 3, he said, I'm not trying to act like I've already become perfect. I've already attained. I've already arrived. I've already made it. He says, listen, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling in Christ. I know I might be further than you, but I still ain't where I ought to be. So I don't want you to get all caught up and think, well, I can never be like Paul. Paul ain't yet all Paul ought to be. And those who may be ahead of you are still not all they ought to be. And every now and then there are issues and troubles and trials and tribulations and storms that happen in our lives that seem to cause us to struggle with our ministry. Are we worthy? Why is God using me? I'm not yet fixed or finished. On and on and on and on. The devil tries to make us have issues with us in our ministry. One slip, God forgives us. We ask his forgiveness, but sometimes we can't forgive us. Or we figure man won't forgive us. And so we struggle with our ministry. But I want you to know something else. 2 Corinthians 4:1 says, therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, therefore, since through God's mercy, we have this ministry. Therefore, since through God's mercy, we have this ministry, we do not lose heart. Which means if God called us to this ministry, we don't give up on it. Somebody missed that. Whatever ministry God has called you to, yes, it's going to be rough sometime. Yes, it's going to be tough sometime. Yes, it's going to be difficult. God never promised us a bed of roses. Every now and then, it's going to challenge us to our core. Yes. But here it is. God, through his mercy, found me worthy. Yes. Counted me worthy. Made me worthy. And then gave me this ministry. Listen, if God thinks you're worthy to call you into any ministry it is that you're ministering in, you need to tell yourself and anybody else, God made me worthy of this ministry. And here's what you need to understand. If God counts you worthy, it doesn't matter what man don't count. Somebody didn't get that. You know, have you ever been afraid or challenged or apprehensive about ministering to somebody because you thought they were up there and you were down here? Listen, if God gave you the ministry to minister, then they may be Goliaths, but you see yourself as David because God gave you this ministry. And I don't care who he brings you and your ministry before. He's put enough in you to minister to them. Otherwise, he would not have used you, brought you, directed you, ordained, navigated your footsteps to minister to those who are before you. Man, you be there sometimes and God brings you and he brings great folk in the audience and put them in front of you. And they're sitting there looking at you like, what you gonna say to me? What you gonna tell me? What is it that you got to say that I want to hear? And they look at it. Look, Jeremiah had that issue, and he was looking at them, and they had those stony faces, cold hearts, stiff necks. And God said, listen, they got hard heads. I made your head harder. They look at you wise and otherwise. Look back at them wise and otherwise. Let them know what I have put in you. I have given you the gift. And then whether they accept it or receive it is on them. It's yours to deliver it. When I was a little boy, I had for a moment a newspaper route. And I got a bicycle and had two baskets on either side of the bicycle. And every morning the newspaper delivery guy would bring the newspapers and, you know, we'd have to fold them, roll band them, and put them in my little baskets. And off I start on my bike. And every time I get to a house that is a subscriber, I'd reach back in the back and I'd boom. I like to let them know their newspaper arrived. And I'd ride and I'd get it there. Man, I got so good I could do it both ways and everything. But here is what I never ever concerned myself with. What was in the news? Somebody gonna catch them. Somebody looking like they done missed that. In other words, I was just a delivery boy. What was written in there, I ain't had nothing to do with. And every now and then when I stand up here and tell you what thus saith the Lord, you can get mad with me if you want to. I'm just a... You catch that when you get here. Get with it. And you got to see yourself the way God sees you. You get there and get all caught up in the message that God has given you to give somebody. Oh, Lord, I can't tell them this. They're going to get mad, but that ain't my business. Amen. I'm only to deliver it. You've been called into your ministry to deliver the ministry to those whom God has given to you to deliver it to. Here's what you need to know. He's only given it to those who've subscribed. The world don't care about your message. They don't care about getting your paper. But the ones who belong to the Lord, when you deliver it, they're going to get the message. If you deliver it. I wish I had a witness to that. So listen at this, my brothers and sisters. It is God in his mercy who gives us the ministry. And we've got to recognize that we cannot alter what he's done. Second thing I want you to know is the people to whom you are to minister are a gift from God. Even the men Jesus worked with were given to him by his heavenly Father, according to John chapter 17, verse 6. One translation says, I have revealed you to those whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they have obeyed your word. The people to whom God give you, they are a gift to you. God gives you the ministry, and then he places the people who will be affected by your ministry under you. In other words, when you pray and prepare and present the word or the work that God gives you to the best of your ability, he'll keep putting gifts under you. The more you sharpen your gift, the better you become at preparing your preparation, meditation, and presentation, God says, I'm going to add some more gifts to you. Listen. And so that's why you've got to understand that the people God places in your ministry is a gift to you, to the preparation and presentation of the work that God has given to you. Now, why is this important for you to know? Because Paul encouraged all those who studied under him, who were given unto him. He always said, especially to the preachers and especially to the teachers, prepare yourself before your sermon. Y'all didn't get that, did you? If you're going to prepare, the first thing you need to prepare is yourself. Get yourself together and your sermon will come. Get yourself together and your ministry will grow. God will give you the ability to attract, because when you do what you're supposed to do, he gives to you those who desire to be in your ministry and under your leadership. Why? Because they know, number one, they have what God wants them to have through you. They see the ministry at work in you. It's easy, because one of the things that I love about God working through the human personality is he attracts other personalities to that personality, who realizes if God could use that person, then God can use me. If God could do this through them, then God could do this through me. If God could use that person, well, there's still hope for me. And so when you begin to realize, listen, if he has already done it, or if he wants yet to do it, then he will do it through human personality. And so all you have to do is prepare yourself. When Isaiah wanted to be a volunteer to preach the gospel, to preach the word, to talk to his people, he had to confess. He said, Lord, he said, I'm a man with unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people with unclean lips. They curse me, I cuss them back. They talk bad to me, I talk back bad to them. We live in this society and community together. They call me one, I say you another. Y'all acting like this ain't real. I'm talking about before he became converted. He said, because I know me, I know my attitude, I know my disposition, I know I got a short wire. I know if they start talking about my mama is on. So if you don't straighten me out, I ain't going to be much help when they start acting a fool. So he had to take a seraphim, take a coal off the fire and put it on his tongue, signifying that he was sterilizing his tongue. He was taking all the bitterness and all of the nastiness and all the vulgarity and all of the profanity out of his mouth, so he could speak with, thus saith the Lord, to a dirty people, a low down people, a nasty people. And when they talk nasty to them, he could still talk godly to them. In other words, he said, Lord, before you fix them, fix me. And so you got to realize if you're going to do ministry work, you got to get fixed first. Because you're going to run into some folk who will cause you to come unglued if you are not fixed by the Lord. Any witnesses in the house? Some people are not in church today because they ran into some church folk who caused them to come unglued. Some folk are not in ministry today because they didn't get themselves fixed right and ran up against some other folk in the church who caused them to become discouraged and disfocused and disappointed till they left the ministry. Some folk have even walked away from Christ because they didn't get it together underneath the skin first, and they were under the misconception that everybody in the church is saved and living right. And so, my brother and sister, you got to get you right before you get ministry right. Listen. Jesus said again, John 17:6, I have revealed you to those whom you gave me, listen now, out of the world. Not out of the church. Out of the world. All of your ministry can't be about church business. See, Jesus said, listen, I've revealed you to those you gave me out of the world. And you know what I've learned in my pastorate over the years? That it's easier to minister sometime to those who are in the world than it is to those who are in the church. Because here's one of the problems that you have. Sometimes you have to folk in the church deprogram them. And then after you deprogram them, you got to reprogram them. But when you get somebody out the world, all you got to do is, y'all got it. Program them. And that's why I'm not all excited about fruit that didn't come off of my tree. But because when you get folk from other folk churches, you get folk with other folk issues. Y'all didn't hear me here. And you come on with that mess about, well, we didn't do it like that at our church where I came from. Then you know what you want to tell them. Well, now, and then you have to pause a moment. You want to say, well, you should have stayed at the church you came from, or this is not the name of the church you came from. But you have to say something like, well, the Lord has given us a different way to do that here. And so under this administration and this anointing, this is the way we do it. I pray you catch the vision. I wish I had a witness in the house. Or if they are, you know, in some elevated position in certain areas of life and have experienced certain success, they'll come and tell you, you know, well, you know, in the job that I'm on and I serve as such and such, we do it like this. Well, this ain't your job. This is not the school system. This is not this business. This is God's business. And this word tells us how we ought to do God's business. And if we do the Lord's business the way the Lord wants us to do his business, he will add great success to our business. So we're going to just stick with the manual God gave us for his business. Now, why is that important? Because you got to understand and know how God operates and operate according to the way God says to operate. Listen, if you're going to reveal God to those whom God has given to you out of the world, then you need to tell them it's by the word's standard, not the world's standard that we operate in. And so Jesus had to teach all of these 12 men that he got out of the world how to operate according to the word. Every one of them could have said how they did it in the business they were called from. Matthew could have told them how they did it in the tax business, you know. And John and them could have told them how they did it, you know, in this business, fishing and so forth and so on. And on and on and on, all of them could have done that. But Jesus took them and he programmed by the word of God how to operate.